Standing in the need of prayer, Exodus chapter 17, and well, as is our title, let's stand. We're reading a few verses. We'll read from verse number 8, all right, and we'll finish at verse number 16. I'll read verse number 8 in Exodus 17, chapter 17, verse 8, and then you all will read verse 9 and so on until verse number 16, okay? The Bible reads for us in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Verse 9. Verse 10, "So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." Verse 11. Verse 12, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Verse 13, "The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Verse 15, verse 16, let's read together. "For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, as we look at this particular passage, Father, we're not looking at anyone else but at you and telling you, Father, we stand in the need of prayer tonight. And Lord, I ask that this passage will encourage us to see why we need prayer above all. So Lord, I ask you to speak to us in a powerful way. And that God, the victories that we will win from now on will not be based on our abilities, but will be based, Lord, on your power. We pray that your Holy Spirit will impress this deeply in our hearts tonight. We'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'll just give you a little bit of background to this particular passage. Then after, I want to highlight why we need prayer. Why we actually need prayer. What are the incidences we need prayer? After, children, I will need your help in some participation activities afterwards, all right? So you just be ready to jump out. Okay, after the children of Israel have been fed on manna, okay, and had their drink, if you realize in the sequence of event, after Exodus 14, the opening of the Red Sea, and then Exodus 15, where Miriam begins to sing the Lord had triumphed gloriously, all right, and the horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea, literally. Okay, there was a song that Miriam sang in praise of the power of God in Exodus 15, how God delivered the children of Israel. And then immediately after Exodus 15, they begin to complain, we've got no food. They begin to complain. All right, how often do we, even as Christians, when we have victory as a Christian, and when there's a need, immediately there will be a complaining spirit. Okay, but God actually met that need. God gave them manna. Then after that, no water to drink. So God actually provided them water as well. Okay, many years ago, I've never really heard of, all I know is God fed them with manna and with water. But if you actually go into the calculations of how much God actually needed to provide for 2 million people, okay, can you imagine 2 million gardenia loaves for a family? 2 million. Okay, God actually had to provide enough water for the entire children of Israel, 2 million of them, every day for 40 years. That's a lot of water, okay? So God actually miraculously provided them. And then after God has fed them on manna and had their drink, as soon as they have been cared for, there comes Amalek to attack them. Look at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel. All right, just give you a very brief summary. Moses commanded Joshua, prepare a group of men to go and fight them. And while he goes up with Aaron and Hur to pray and to meet God. Now, who is Hur? Not who is her? Who is her? Her is a lady. No. Who is her? H-U-R. Who is her? Anyone? Who is her? Her is seldom mentioned except in a few places, okay? And you actually have to do some extra biblical reading. Her apparently is Miriam's husband. Miriam's husband, okay? It means it's actually Aaron's and Moses' brother-in-law, okay? So three of them working together. But this is actually, you need to go for historical sources to look at that. But anyway, Aaron, Moses, and her went up to pray and meet with God. And the victory of that day against the Amalekites was decided not merely on Joshua's attack of Israel against Amalekites, but more than anything, the victory was decided by the dependence of the power of God through prayer. God wanted to teach the Israelite that day that victory as a nation will never be dependent on their abilities, but only on God. And I think tonight God also wants to teach us that there will never be a victory without prayer. Never. Okay? There will never be a victory and depend unless we will totally depend on God on prayer. Okay? So what is prayer? The word prayer, right? The word prayer, okay, very quickly is to judge. Okay? The idea of judgment is involved. And then as an extension of that, prayer is then to beg. Based on what we have decided is the need, we actually intercede and pray. I'm glad you're happy with that. So prayer is actually the making of supplication. After a decision has been made, there is a need. Okay? So prayer, based on the definition of prayer, there are three elements, which is not the one I give you, okay? There's another layer. But just the definition of prayer, there's an element of decision in the word. And then there's an element of resulting from the decision. There is the making of supplication and the begging. Okay? Now, what is that decision we make? Prayer, in essence, has three areas. Number one, it reflects our faith in the Lord. Okay, it actually reflects our faith in the Lord. Prayer, in essence, also helps us to realize that we are weak and are dependent on God. Okay, the first, if you are following, the first one is actually we are weak and we are dependent on God. The second one, it reflects our faith in the Lord. Because when we pray, when we ask for help, it means that we cannot do something. Does that make sense? Okay, like for example, I know Esther Joy said, Papa, can you help me with carrying this? Why? Because she is weak and there's actually a dependent on someone else. It reflects our faith in the Lord. Okay, we do not ask sometimes because we don't trust God. After this, I'll highlight one of the illustration. And number three, with the prayer, it actually leads to our confident asking of the Lord. When we actually have faith in the Lord, we will actually ask the Lord. Okay, have you ever wanted to ask something from someone and you hesitated because you felt that you will probably not get it? How many of you had that before? Maybe I shouldn't ask. I probably won't get it. Man. Okay. Many times, it was last night. It was just interesting. And I didn't mention this too. But I was holding a cup. I had coconut juice last night. And someone was looking at it longingly. But didn't ask. So I was kind of just looking at it. Just kept drinking. And anyway, the person was distracted after that. You know, sometimes we don't ask God. Not simply because sometimes we may not trust Him enough. Whether or not God will give it to us. Okay. This is very important. Some children may need some coaxing and encouragement to ask, and usually it's because there's a fear that they will not get it. There's a fear of rejection, perhaps. Okay? Now, based on our study tonight, why do we need prayer? Why do we need prayer? Why do we need to depend on the Lord and implore Him to help Him, or implore Him to help intervene so that we can actually move on in our lives? All right? Just 4 points very quickly from this particular passage. Number one, we need prayer because our enemy is strong. We need prayer because our enemy is strong. In Exodus 17, verse 8, then come Amalek. Who is Amalek? The Amalekites. Who are the Amalekites? They are the descendants of which tribe? Or which group of people, you know? The Amalekites are the descendants of? Sorry? Yeah, they are in the land of Canaan, okay? But they are actually officially the descendants of Esau, okay? The Edomites, okay? The descendants of the Amorites and the Amalekites. They are almost the... okay? Amalek was a descendant of Esau, okay? Esau... As we know in the story of Jacob and Esau, Esau lived in the flesh, okay? And he was willing to give up his spiritual birthright for literally a bowl of soup, okay? A bowl of porridge at that time. The Amalekites were a better hardened group of people in the land of Canaan. In fact, they were the top fighters, okay? They were kind of the very strong force. And they go around bullying people in the Canaanite area. Okay, when the Israelites were trying to move in during that time. The Amalekites were better hardened. They were fierce and they often obstructed Israel. And as usual, moving in, they were the very first one to obstruct Israel. That's why God was very angry with them, because they were obstructing what God wanted his people to move, or where his people wanted to move. Okay, so they were fierce, they obstructed Israel. An application, remember Esau lived in the flesh. Our flesh is strong. I forgot to bring something, but our flesh is strong. Our enemy, the devil, is strong. You know why God asks us to flee temptation? Because you realize that you will never be able to fight temptation. You will lose. There are many people who say, don't worry, Brother Johnny, I can handle it. No, you can't. Turn to just a particular passage for people who drink, okay? But in Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, this talks about addiction, okay? In context, it talks about alcohol addiction. But in Proverbs chapter 23, 30 to 35. I won't read the whole thing, but I just want to highlight that today, the drinking of beer, the drinking of alcohol, the drinking, adding of alcohol is very rampant. Young children are experimenting with it. And we take a stand against that because God says don't drink, okay? But in Proverbs chapter 23, I want us to, I'll just read through, and then there's one particular verse in verse 35 that I will highlight very much. The Bible says in verse 20, who had woe, who had sorrow, who had contentions, who had babblings, who had wounds without cause, who had redness of eyes, they that tarry long at wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Okay, there are some people who say, Rajani, don't worry, I can control my drink. God says you will seek it yet again. All right? You know, when Solomon actually wrote this down, it was a very, very important truth because many people were destroyed by alcohol, including himself. Okay? Samson was another one who gradually, you know, Samson was a Nazarite. Okay? And in the Nazarite vow, there were three things they were not supposed to do. They're not supposed to touch a dead body. Samson did. Not supposed to drink alcohol. Samson did. Not supposed to cut his hair. Samson did. Okay? And you realize that God had such mercy that when Samson touched the dead body, it was strike one, but God didn't take away his power. And then when he drank alcohol, it was strike two, God didn't take away his power. But the final one, when he cut his hair, God took away his power. That doesn't give us some people say, Rajani, I want to have power so I keep my hair long. No, unless you are a Nazarite. Okay? You are not supposed to keep your hair long because the Bible says it's a shame. Alright, coming back to this one, our flesh is strong. Okay? Sometimes when we think that we can actually handle it, God says you can't. That's why flee temptations. That's why flee temptation. It's very, very important for us to realize that. We need prayer because our enemy is strong. Now, who is our enemy for ourselves? It's sin. Sin is always an enemy. Sin is always an enemy. Always, always, always an enemy. Don't underestimate sin. Sin can destroy you even before you know it. Okay? Self is an enemy. Self stops you from doing the right thing. And Satan, of course, is an enemy. I'll just read this. The strength of a lion is much more than the physical strength of the strongest man. Some I know there are some people who try to fight with strong... Who's that guy who was killed? Steve something, right? He was killed by a jellyfish in the end. He will wrestle with crocodiles. What is it? Steve something, right? Huh? Irwin, right? Yeah. Okay. We're supposed to have dominion over this, I know. Okay. But let's put it this way. Some animals are obviously stronger than us. Okay. Please be very careful. We need prayer because our enemy is strong. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so number one, we need prayer because the enemy is strong. But secondly, we need prayer because we are weak. Remember, prayer represents dependency on God. Why do we say you're weak? Where do I get it from? Remember, the Israelites just came up from Egypt. They were slaves for over 400 years. Okay? They didn't know what it means to fight a battle. Let's turn to Exodus 13, 17 and see what God had to say and why God actually chose a certain pathway for the Egyptians. For the Israelites. Exodus 13, verse 17. Okay, we're on the point we need prayer because we are weak. In Exodus 13, 17, the Bible says it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed. In other words, they gathered all they had harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, if you can just look here, okay, just pretend this is the land of Goshen, okay, this is Egypt, okay, this is the Mediterranean Sea, okay. Okay, if you go up this way, Israel is here. Okay, this is Egypt, Israel is here. Okay, the fastest way from Egypt to Israel is here. But the problem is the Philistines are here. And what did God say? I'm not going to let you go through the Philistines' way because lest you guys see war and discourage you and you turn back. And so what God did was he directed Moses to travel down this way to hit the Red Sea. Okay? to hit the Red Sea so that they come by this way, bypassing the land of the Philistines. Does that make sense? Okay? So that is God. You know what? That's an encouragement because God sees our weakness. Amen? God actually sees what we need. God actually knows that, hey, this group of people, 2 million people though they may be, they're not going to be able to handle the Philistines. So what? Tell you what, I'm going to lead you guys through the Red Sea, okay? Through the Red Sea and onto the Sinai Peninsula into Israel. God knows our weaknesses and He knows what we can and what we cannot do, okay? In 1 Corinthians 10:13, anyone knows that verse? 1 Corinthians 10:13? Sorry? Okay, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer ye to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God knows that we are weak. And you know what? In this instance, as much as God bypassed the Philistines, God opened the Red Sea, do you think, this is an important point, do you think the Israelites were ready to face the Amalekites? Actually, they were not still. They were not ready. They were not ready to face the Amalekites. But yet God allowed that to happen. I want us to get this very important point. If you travel along as a Christian in life, and we don't grow as we go, there comes a time that God, regardless of whether you are ready or not, God's going to put you face to face with your enemy. And the purpose is to show that we are weak, that we need Him, that we need Him. If you think through that, I was thinking, Lord, you know, yeah, they had no military might. They just came up from Egypt and they just crossed the Red Sea and they were complaining, and yet you allow them to meet the Amalekites who were better hardened. And you realize the Amalekites only got destroyed King Hezekiah's time, totally wiped out. And that's a long time. They were able to survive a long time, but God destroyed them finally. But that's an important point. I'll read this. Many times God places us in situations that we are not ready for, and we need to ask ourselves, what is our response? We have a choice. To trust ourselves and say, no, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Or to trust the Lord and rise to the occasion by the power of God. Many times Christians, when faced with the situation, we'll say, oh, we're not ready for this. You know what we need to do? We need to run to God and pray. We need to run to God and pray. The natural human tendency is to run away from situations we cannot handle. God wants us to learn. We need prayer because we are weak. And many times God has to drive us to our knees because He wants us to be there so that we will learn to depend on Him. Okay? Any questions? That's why we need to pray. We need prayer because we are weak. Right? That's point number two. Number three, we need prayer because in Exodus 17:11, our victory is dependent only on prayer. Wrong. It's dependent on God. We can pray till the cows come home. Our victory is dependent on God. God is the one who will give us. Look at verse 11. Came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. Okay, the lifting of our hands is a representative of prayer. So every time Moses prayed, lift up his hands, Joshua won. But every time he put down his hands, the Amalek prevailed. Okay, I'll read this quote to you. Then the angel, remember in the New Testament, Peter was in prison, right? An angel came to fetch Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Okay, and that's very important for us to understand. The church of God was praying for Peter, and that's why the angel came. All right? What kind of prayer must we pray before the Lord that will move Him to action? Two types of prayer. Number one, we need persevering prayer. Persevering prayer. In Luke chapter, how did I get that? Maybe this is a time that I need four volunteers, okay? Four volunteers. Two from here, and three from here, and all from here. We have four volunteers. Come, Gorulan is one. Okay. Anyone else? Well, actually, I wanted to do one. Okay. Any other volunteers? Come, who would like to volunteer? Okay, another volunteer. Okay, so we're going to simulate Aaron, Hur, and Moses, okay? And one more volunteer. Okay. That when Moses was putting out his hand, okay? The Bible never says what Aaron and Hur did. They probably did the same thing, okay? But Moses was their spiritual leader. The problem is that after a while, Moses actually fatigued. You tried putting your hand there for a long time. Okay, I can only remember when do army PT. They gave you to do this. It's like, whoa. But you know what? Just putting out your hand there. I remember when Joshua was fighting. No, a 5-minute fight, no. The Bible says that he actually fought the whole day against the Amalekites. Okay? Moses had to have persevering prayer. He had to continue. Because if he doesn't continue, Joshua and his group of people can be destroyed by the Amalekites down there. It's a spiritual lesson. I think God wants us to pull out from here the spiritual persevering prayer that every believer has to have. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 7 and 8. I'll just read. You can turn there. And the Bible says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." The Lord Jesus was teaching on persevering prayer. Remember the widow and the unjust judge pounding on the door. "Come on, answer me. You know, this guy is cheating me. You have to answer me." And in the end, the unjust judge actually said, "I don't care for God. I don't care for this woman. But, you know, I want to sleep. This lady is just bugging me. If I just give whatever she wants, then she will stop bugging me." And Jesus said, "Hear what the unjust judge say. Listen to what the unjust judge say. That if he's being unjust, will give in order to get rid of this person, will not God, who loves us, give to those who perseveringly pray?" But you know what was Jesus' heart at the end in verse 8? He says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" You know what he means? Am I going to find people when I come still lifting up their hands to pray? Still persevering in prayer? You know, I'm guilty of not persevering as much in prayer. And I think it's important for us collectively to understand as a church, we need to persevere in prayer. Number one is our victory dependent on God. Number one, God wants us to have persevering prayer. Number two, we need support as we pray. Just now when Brother Song Ling talked about the fact Moses sit down, but you know what? He said, after a while he prayed, he got very tired. What did he do? He didn't do anything. Supporters came. Support came. Firstly, they put Moses to sit. I was thinking, what did he do? So they put Moses to sit down. And then maybe Aaron and her probably held out his hands. To illustrate, Moses continued, "We will support you in prayer. You just keep praying. We will do all we can to ensure that your prayer continuously go up to God. Continuously going up to God." Spiritual work. Okay, I'll just read in verse 12 first. "But Moses' hands were heavy," meaning they were tired. I know they're heavy. They were tired. "And it took a stone, put it under him, and he let him sit down first. Then Aaron and her set up. Stayed up his hands, one on one side, on the other hand, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." In other words, Aaron and her supported Moses the whole time the Amalekites was fighting, the whole time in order for Joshua to defeat the Amalekites. Is it possible that sometimes we lose certain spiritual battles because we did not persevere till the going down of the sun? We gave up halfway. We complain halfway. We say things halfway, say, "I'm not going to do it anymore." When God says, "Look, you need to persevere till sundown." It was only then that God gave the victory to Israel. Spiritual work requires us to persevere in prayer. And when there is no support in prayer, there is discouragement for the spiritual leader. All right? In Moses' time, his hands were down, but no, Aaron and her just came together. When Moses was tired, guess what? Aaron and her came to Moses. Their focus, Aaron and her's focus, was on the victory for Israel. Say, "Hey, Moses, you cannot keep your hand down. Tell you what, we can pray." Probably, I'm just trying to think how God wanted to work this. But you know what? Aaron and her's mind was on the victory of Israel. Moses was their spiritual leader. We do all we can to support him so that the prayers can still go up, so that God can still give the victory to Israel. So the focus of Aaron and her was on the victory of Israel. They came together. They helped the prayer of Moses by supporting him. Not merely, you know, they were relatives. But you know what? Hey, we're not just relatives here, guys. We are relatives publicly. We need to be one in heart so that Israel can win, okay? When the people of God get together to pray collectively, supporting one another in prayer, it lifts the hands, strengthens the heart, fortifies the resolve, and increases the courage to do what God wants us to do. And that is important. We need support in prayer. We need to support one another in prayer. You know what? As a whole church, we need to support the youth people as they have the church camp, the youth camp. We need, as a church, we need to support the children's ministry as they're having the VBS. As a church, we need to support the Chinese in prayer. As a church, we need to support the Filipinos in prayer. As a church, we need to support one another in prayer in whatever that we are going through. Okay? Because the more support we have, God gives us the victory. Prayer is vital for victory, and we need to be persevering in it. In Acts 4:31, I just read, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness." Okay? We need prayer because our victory in life, not just in the battles we fight in life. Some of us may have bad habits that we need to overcome. You know what you need to do to overcome them? Praying. Seeking God for that. Okay, and lastly, the point number 4. And it's so important because I was just calculating, if you look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, I was calculating the number of words that God gave with regards to prayer, and I calculated about 77 words. Okay, whereas when Joshua fought against the Amalekites, the Bible says in verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses had said, and fought Amalek. It's probably about 17 words, about there. Okay, so about 10% of words given to the physical fight, whereas the majority of the words were given to the spiritual fight. But you know what? Many of the commentators, and I believe God wants to bear this out, as I was reading other things, even though there is prayer, there needs to be effort as well. There needs to be the physical effort. We can pray and pray and pray. The Amalekites will not be beaten unless someone goes and beat them.
Beat them.
Okay? We can pray till the cows come home, but if there's no workers to lead the VBS, our prayer for the VBS will be futile as well. If there's no one to recce the youth camp site to plan the thing, it will be futile as well. In verse 9 and 10, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out fight with Amalek. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. I want us to highlight a few things about Joshua. This is the first mention of Joshua in the entire Bible. The first time the name of Joshua was mentioned, number one. Number two, Moses chose Joshua out of the 600,000 men in Israel at that time to lead this expedition against Amalek. You know what? That represents his trust in a man. Okay? Many of the people that... The comments on Joshua in the books, in the Jewish history books, was this. Okay? Joshua was a tested and dependable person. Joshua was hardworking. This was the very words of Josephus, a Jewish historian, when he wrote on Joshua. Joshua was hardworking. Joshua was an excellent listener to instructions. And one of the things that really gripped me was Josephus, a Jewish historian, said this. Joshua was a serious worshipper of Jehovah. He had his heart totally given to God. And his life exhibited excellence in everything that he do. That when Moses needed someone to lead an expedition against the Amalekite, Joshua, you come. You go and get the men. Go. I'll pray. You go and do the work. I'll pray. You know what an encouragement for me was Joshua, that Joshua was. He was, the phrase that really got me was a serious worshipper of Jehovah. Okay, and these are the very words of the Jewish historian. When Moses chose Joshua to do the work, Moses knew what he was doing in his choice. You know, there's an encouragement for us, a challenge for us, not only to be so-called spiritually minded, but you know, at the same time, our lives will exhibit to the point of dependency that God, if you need anyone, I'm available. Because otherwise the Amalekite will wipe out, not so much wipe out, but hinder the movement of Israel. Okay? As an illustration, when I was in SAF, there was this general, I think I shared before, General Lapidot, who was in charge of the intelligence, okay, and he was sharing with us how, as Israel, the IDF prepared for Entebbe raid, you know, in 1975. He said that when they actually gave the call was given to the entire army, okay, to enlist the best soldiers for a top secret mission. Okay, we were all officers there, lah. So this general was just a way of encouraging us as officers. At least for me, I was a bit challenged. There were 196 soldiers called up for the mission. Of the 196, 5 of them were other ranks. 6 were warrant officers. Okay, this was a call for the best soldiers in the entire Israeli Defense Force. So all the army units were sent their best men. Okay, 6 of them were senior warrant officers. 5 of them other ranks. 185 of them were officers. And they were the best soldiers in the army camp. That was a challenge. Yes, I don't think I'm the best soldier officer in my camp. But that was there was an encouragement and a challenge there. You know, if you read some of the comments, I think there are some quotes there. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better or new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer. Men mighty in prayer, men who will persevere in prayer, men who is excellent in their work. Robert McChinney, if it's very interesting, Robert McChinney was called to the ministry when he was 20 years old. He died when he was 29. And that was in the 16th, 17th century. His messages, up till today, men are still reading it for spiritual encouragement. Only 9 years of ministry. You know what he said? God is not looking for new methods. He's looking for a new man. You know, in this world that we live in, we are constantly looking for how to grow in the church, how to do this. You know what? God is not looking for new methods. He's looking for a new man, a new woman who says, God, take me. Because if we are surrendered to God, God can do anything. You know, there's a song that goes, God can do anything that is placed into his hand. God used 5 barley loaves and 2 seasoned salted fish to feed more than 10,000 people in John chapter 6. Don't tell me God can't do that. God is not looking for new methods. He's looking for a new man. He's not looking for new ways of doing things. He's looking for a man and a woman who say, God, you take me. Joshua was that kind of man. That when Moses said, you go and do the job, he said, yes, sir. He just went, he chose the man, he fought. Yeah, there were some losses, which teaches us that no matter how excellent you can be, remember, it's still spiritual work. God's the prayer have to continue in order for spiritual victory. But you know what? We need to do our part in being excellent. There was a man of God who said this, pray as if everything depends on God, then work as if everything depends on you. Pray as if everything depends on God, but then work as if everything depends on you. The idea is not so much to depend on our own abilities, but realize I've got to do my best. Because if I do 50%, but God gives you 100%, my 50% may not be able to take his 100% of blessings and something may crumble. Does that make sense? Okay? And that's an encouragement. Pray as if everything depends on God, then work. If you don't remember anything from tonight, just remember this phrase. God is not looking for new methods. You know, as I'm thinking about, yeah, we may have the discipleship group, but you know, God says, I'm not interested in that. I'm looking for men. I'm looking for someone who says, God, take me. Ambassador will not grow by methods. You only grow by men. Men who are willing to surrender themselves 100% to what God wants them to do. And then let's look at the outcomes, okay? In verse 13, 14, 15, after the entire spiritual battle, Joshua has done his job, Moses has prayed, and Joshua discomfited. The word discomfited means weakened, overthrown the enemy and his people with the edge of the sword. Number one, we realize there was victory. Excellence of Joshua, the prayer of Moses, supported by Aaron and Hur. We need to remember, look at verse 14. The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I wonder why. Why at the beginning stage, 40 over years before Joshua will finally take on the mantle of God's service to lead Israel? You know why this Joshua was being proved? And God says, I want you to, Moses, write this in the book and I want you to remind Joshua the time that he is going to take over you. He needs to remember his victory is not dependent on who he is, but who I am. Do you know what Jehovah Nissi means? Who knows what Jehovah Nissi means without looking at the side notes of your Bibles? The Lord, our banner. In other words, when I fight, I don't fight under my own banner, my own strength. I fight under the banner of the Lord. When Ambassador Baptist Church goes out to do battle for the souls of children and youth, we don't fight under our battle banner. We fight under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so important for us to understand. When we go tracking on Tuesday and Wednesday, it's not in the strength of our own. It's under the banner of the Lord as we go out to try to talk to someone about Christ. And then in verse 15, Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, a reminder that our victory is because the Lord is our banner, the one that we go in the name of. If we go in the name of ourselves, in the name ABC, we will fall flat. We will never grow, okay? So as we close, I just want to highlight 3 working principles in that battle. Number one, can I encourage every leader, every DG group leader next time, Lord willing, every children's ministry worker, every youth worker, every Sunday school teacher, even the cleaning of the church. And this may sound strange. Let there be prayer before we ever do anything for God. That we put God first. And God, I'm cleaning this church in the name of Christ. That God's people might be blessed. And you realize as you do that, God's blessings will flow. Let there be prayer before every endeavor, not just in the church, but even in your own life. When you take a test, when you study or research your assignment, when you hand up, when you need to do a presentation perhaps, when you are in the midst of your friends, you're praying. When you take your PSLE results next Thursday, let there be prayer and say, God, your will be done. That's what we did when Joanna went to take her result and God, not Sister Isabella was just joking and saying, well, anyway, anything is settled already. So whatever you pray, it's not going to work. No. But God can actually at night sneak and change the result. No, he won't. He's an honest God, okay? But it's been settled already. But let there be prayer in your exams. Children, as you grow up every day, let there be prayer. Children, pray for your parents as they go to work, okay? And we need to pray for one another, those people who are sick. Let there be prayer in every endeavor. Number 2, okay, we need to pray for one another. Don't just pray for what is important to us. esteem also the things of others. Okay, number three, we need to do our best in everything we do. Be excellent in all that we do for the glory of God. There must be spiritual prayer, but there must be physical work. And let our physical endeavor be the best. For the Lord, everything the ambassador does be excellent for the Lord. All right, any questions as we finished? I'll take these thoughts home. Like I say, if you don't remember anything, just remember this one line. God's not looking for new methods. He's looking for a new man, a new woman. Someone who will never give any reason why God cannot use you. And you will eradicate. There was one particular lady who, I can't remember her name, I think she lived in the 100th century, I was just reading her. She says, God, change me, give me the bill. God, do what you want with me, you can change me, just give me the bill. In other words, Lord, I'm willing to be anything you want. Just tell me what I need to do. What's the cost to me? I'm willing to pay the cost. I'm willing to give up anything to be what you want me to be. Okay, and that's something that, you know, I know. Well, any questions as we close? Hopefully there's an encouragement for us in our hearts. Any questions? Moses and the victory that he got that day through prayer. Lord, there was a concerted cooperation where Moses prayed, Aaron and Hur supported him. But down in the valley, down as it were on the ground, the battle was taking place. As Joshua led a group of former slaves with no battle experience, but yet there was courage as Joshua faced the Amalekites together with the rest of the Israelites. The courage came, I believe, Lord, from the prayers of Moses. But more than anything, courage came from God. As Joshua and the soldiers faced the Amalekites, Lord, we pray that you will give us your courage as we live life, as we serve you. Lord, perhaps in this congregation right now, there might be someone facing an Amalekite in their lives. And God, they are saying, I'm running away. Oh God, I pray you will help this brother or this sister see that in their own strength, Lord, they will have to run. But when they are willing to come under the banner of Jehovah Nissi, Lord, with prayer and dependency on you, God, you will always give the best. Oh, Father, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will help us always to remember we are the ones standing in the need of prayer. And that, God, we will be willing to turn everything over to you in prayer. Because unless we pray, Father, we will never have victory in our lives. The genuine victory that comes only from our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for Moses' example of prayer and for Joshua's excellence in this work. Oh, help us to be a serious worshipper of the Lord Jesus, that our lives may manifest the glory of God to the people around, that the victory, Father, might be sure. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do as we just take some prayer requests and break up into groups to pray. I ask you to burn this desire in Ambassador's heart, that there will be prayer in everything that we do. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay,